So, ladies and gentlemen and councillors, it's 10 o'clock and meeting held today, 28th of January 26th at 10 a.m. at the Woodsdale Hall, 2310 Woodsdale Road, Woodsdale. Congratulations to all those that look after and present the Woodsdale Hall. It just looks terrific. A lot of great work done, and we are very indebted to that foundation and very pleased to be able to have our meeting here today. In accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, I must advise that all attendees that this meeting is going to be recorded. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting. And language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Now, we are going to commence with prayers, and if we're fortunate to take Reverend Karen, we will be here to recite those prayers. Thank you, sir.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the old year ended, and we trust you for this new. We give thanks for the things that endure, and the old things transcending the changing years. We give thanks for the solid soil of our ancient land under our feet, for the lakes, ponds, dams and waterholes, for the morning sun rising on a familiar landscape. For as the sun rises, may we acknowledge the new day that is filled with possibilities to do good. We ask for guidance for our Southern Midland councillors, that they may lead with discernment and with an ear that both listens and acts. May each of them serve as they are able to a community of diverseness, including peoples, animals, land and structure. We especially remember those in our community who have passed. We remember their loved ones, friends and community, especially the families of Robert Scott from Tunnock, Pat Tankard from Kempton, Beverly Geard, Beth Tribolet from Swanston, Judith Farwick from York Plains, Stephen Burke from Oatlands, and Shirley Robson from the Multipurpose Centre. We also pray for those soon to return to our schools. May the students form positive relationships and navigate the system with ease. May our teachers and students have strength as they move through the calendar year. We also pray for our elderly, for those living alone, for those without families, the newborn, younger families and everyone in between. Loving God, be with them all. And we pray for our Lord and Saviour taught us, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Karen. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and air. We pay respect to the elders past and present. Our attendance today is as normal, with the exception of the apology of Councillor Miller. And the CEO, I think he's going to put it there.
Oh, what's the new name?
Still getting over the names. And the new bill goes through, we've got a new title. But yes, the GM is going to join us at 11 o'clock. When we were turned for now the ordinary minutes of council, item 5, those minutes, please.
Move.
Thank you.
Or in second.
Thank you. Any issues there? Confirmation that be confirmed. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Now, also the annual general meetings, 10 minutes on the 10th of December 25.
I'm
there. Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Any issues there? My special minutes of council but we do have the minutes of TAS Place, which is the joint authority. Their AGM 27th of November 25. They've been received. Do I have a move of report? Councillor Blackwell, Secretary Councillor Bisbee. Any issues? Councillor Workshops, which is item 6. One workshop there held on the 19th of January.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor.
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor. Any issues with how that's been recorded?
Just wanted to make a statement, Mr. Mayor. The Stratless, I'm sorry, Damien. The Zoom things that we're supposed to do, there's one going to be on Friday afternoon from 1 to 2, and Gemma has booked the council room for us to do it if we wish to attend. I'm attending, so if any other councillors wish to attend, that's at Oakland. Online session, I should say.
That's this Friday.
That's this Friday.
Okay, good. Is it possible to book in, to Zoom in yourself or without going to council?
I'm sure Jim
should probably be able to do it through Teams or something.
Yeah, you can go remotely.
Okay. Yeah. Should you?
Yeah.
Very
I was
good.
Just going to be enlightened at the time, so I thought...
No, well, that might be handy for other councillors as well, so very good. Well, the information is to be received. Those in favour?
Aye.
There's no questions on notice, but questions without notice. Yes, Councillor Bisbee, I'll commence with you.
Yes, too, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, I think we... suffered some theft and damage to the campaigning at Grandstand, and I just wondered if we have any report on that. Apparently a lot of copper was stolen out of the renovations of the building. So I've just heard that second hand. I haven't talked to Tim about it, and we can leave it until he comes if you wish.
It's an issue of security, you're talking there?
No, I believe that there was a theft of copper wiring and piping out of the... that had been installed in the renovations. And that, of course, they were gone. And I just wondered what the impact that was on the completion of the building and how great the loss was and whether we can't find a chance.
There are a couple of issues there. I mean, Dave, if you might like to share with us, one was about the scoreboard with the copper being removed, and there have been a couple of incidents in relation to the change rooms.
Yeah, that's correct. Unfortunately, that's the second time now that we've had that vibration. They appear to be targeting, so electric is obviously roughing in new wiring for the new build, and seeing as quick as it goes in there, they're coming in and knocking it off. I'm in contact with the Sorrel District Police Officer regarding upping the ante there around particularly campaigning, given that it does appear to have a relatively high crime rate at the moment. Myself and Tim are going to actually go and meet with them to discuss it. But yes, it's unfortunate, and just recently I received a call on Sunday morning that they're putting in there on Saturday night, and the electrician's estimated probably about $5,000 worth of wiring that they've stolen for the second time now. As for insurance coverage, well, it's always weighed up, you know, the cost of it against our insurance premiums, etc. So, yeah, we're just going to look at what the best avenue is to either refund or just redo it. The frustrating part with it all is it's slowing down the bill. You know, we've got a time frame, which is March, to have it completed. However, every time this happens, it sets us back. The building will be locked up this week, which we're hoping will assist. But, you know, at the end of the day, if I want to get in, I'll be.
Is there any possibility of putting this building, you know, they're pretty cheap these days, those cameras? Like, I'm a bit worried about who's actually doing this because, you know, it's, whether or not the Southern Midlands Council areas have been targeted, but we've had a few ones directly related to our works in our patch. But I just wonder whether or not it's might help if we had a camera here or something.
Cameras are going to be installed as part of the bill, under the big ones. However, the issue, as I've discussed with the police previously, is the footage that you get, if it's not perfectly 100% clear, it doesn't hold up in court, in a nutshell. So it's not worth anything to do.
But you're not going to catch the people.
Well, what we believe, we are certainly not alone. It's affecting the building industry across Tasmania.
Is it?
Yes, they're targeting anything. I was talking to a guy that works at Tas Networks last week, and they're only stealing the copper wire that goes up hydro poles in the streets and taking ladders out at night and literally getting up there and cutting it off. So we are not alone, but the building industry, I recall a while back there were some sites in and around the Greater Hobart where they had to hire full-time security for that reason, because they were just being taken.
Yeah, I know of weekly break-ins to Tas Networks depot at Cambridge. I have relatives that work there and a relative that leases the land right next to it, and the fences are being cut once a week, and that's what they're going in and taking all, taking the copper.
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, did the insurance pay out the first time?
No. We have, you know, obviously we have a pretty big debt system as well, so we've got
to weigh up. Very
frustrating, isn't it? Very. You had another matter you said too.
Very quickly, the Deputy Mayor's been handling an issue with the pool, and I just wondered if we have finalised our negotiations with the building.
They haven't been at this point in time. They have got an issue with relation to the solar with what we've claimed as benefit from them. I've organised a meeting with Patrick Stanton, Jim and myself to lock that down. It just seems to have dragged on for so long. We're still holding close to $400,000 against that project. So
we have a claim on some of that.
We do.
160 or roughly?
Yeah. Plus consultant fees, a range of.
So it might get up to 200.
Could well be.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's it.
Councillor Fish.
It's not really a question, but I'd just like to comment on Australia Day at Broad Marsh, how great it was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And for whatever reason, some people weren't able to get there. They missed out on a great service, if that's the right word.
Yeah. Well, Glad you found it that way. Obviously, we've been organised within an inch of its life by Gemma, and she gets a big pat on the back because it all went pretty smoothly. Is that your lot? Yep, Castor Campbell.
Yes, I've got three. I had a number of complaints about long grass, 38 Glenelg Street, Oatlands, and grass is growing up around the vehicles. It's becoming a bit of a snake hazard, fire hazard, causing hay fever. Has anything been done about that, or is something likely to be done about
that? Is this on the verge or in the front yard of the
premises? In the paddock. On the actual property.
I see. Yeah, it's on the property, not a road area. Yeah, right. Any comments about 38 Glenelg, please?
Yes. I'd like some comments, Mr. Mayor. Council has a compliance officer, a regional policy, that undertakes regular inspections of properties. We do act on a lot of complaints, generally speaking, but we do have to acknowledge and also put the comments with the rural volunteer fire brigades on identified sites that are a potential hazard. So I'll make a note of this one and bring it to everyone's attention.
And next question, the old Colebrook shop veranda. The last lot of windy weather, pieces were falling off it and creating a bit of a hazard. So where are we at on getting that veranda upgraded, repaired, rebuilt, whatever? I believe it's a heritage issue.
There's a few of us who've got a response, so Dave, initially, through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, I believe the latest correspondence we've had from the property owner is that they've received heritage approval because it's heritage listed, and only recently, I think it was just prior to Christmas, they received approval to go ahead, and do some repair work there, and I believe that they're currently receiving quotations to have it worked out.
Then my final question, which probably will plague us all the way through the agenda. Woodstar Football Club and their associated committees, where are we at with the Woodstar Football Ground? I believe that the paperwork has been signed by both parties but hasn't been handed over, but it's due to be handed over.
Tim's got his finger on the pulse there. We've had the process where one council officer has dealt with Woodstar Football Club, so there's a clarity and consistency of the communication. I'm sure Tim will give us leads on deck.
Very good. Well, we'll give him an opportunity to answer that perhaps after morning tea, if that suits you, Councillor Cam.
That's my lot.
All right.
Nothing from me, thank you.
Definitely.
Me either.
Very good. Well, we're now at a situation where, well, first of all, we need to have a declaration of pecuniary interest. Councillors are requested to advise of a pecuniary interest that may have a matter on the agenda. Is there any pecuniary interest to be declared? No, I don't have a pecuniary interest as such, but I certainly have an interest sufficient to warrant me not being part of the vote on the area, the planning commission area, planning authority area.
Composting.
On the composting facility. So I'll ask the deputy to take the reins while that is being debated. So if we can make a recording of that, please. Are there any supplementary items to the agenda?
None.
Nil? Very good. There being nil supplementary items, we can proceed to public question time. We might do a little bit more and come back to that.
Yep.
It's not quite clear. Mm-hmm. Look, why don't we try and see whether or not we can dispose of the first item of council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use and Planning Approvals Act. Development application and the first development application is in relation to such the works at Somerton 923 Government Banks Road in Colden. And by our Sir James, I will vacate and move in.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we'll ask Grant Finn, Development Manager and Environmental Services, to run us through this DA, please.
Sure. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Good morning, Council. The application before us is for a composting facility. The application has a long history. It was presented to Council under the interim planning scheme some 4 years ago, and we've been working with the applicant and the EPA to try and refine the application, particularly in relation to the waste feedstock. The application is, as it states on the agenda, a level 2 activity. So the EPA, the Environment Protection Authority, they assess the environmental effects of the proposed activity, and that relates to, I guess, groundwater contamination, atmospheric emissions, particularly odour, given the composting facility. The application, if I can just walk through it, it doesn't involve direct sales to the public. It would be a wholesale facility. The DA includes the following works: a timber post and wire stockproof fence on the perimeter, 4 ship containers, 3 of which will be configured together with a corrugated dome roof to provide underweather protection, a toilet amenities block, and upgrade the existing vehicle access onto Lovely Banks Road, which is the council maintained road. The DA was referred to the EPA on the 25th of July 2025. The EPA board made a decision to grant the permit on November 2025. Those conditions would form part of any approval of council, and I note that in the recommendation, condition number 2 refers very clearly to the EPA board conditions as relates to this activity. As far as the site goes, the site is located on Lovely Banks Road, it's referred to as Somerton. It's a 900 hectare broadacre land. The proposed compost facility will occupy a small portion, 24%, 24 hectares of the 900 hectare site, and 6.2 hectares of the 24 hectares would be operational space only. So if we look at page 17 on the agenda, we've got a very good site plan which shows the 24 hectare fenced site and then the 6.2 hectare compost area in the lower portion of that property. Access will be maintained from Lovely Banks Road, and as I mentioned earlier, it would require an upgrade as per Austro or Legat rural road standards. The property and surrounding properties are zoned agriculture under the Tasmanian planning scheme, and the predominant land use in the area is rural, it's sheep grazing predominantly. The application was compiled by Daniel Gray Planning, and was also supported by an EIS impact statement compiled by Bill Cromer, and they both form part of the application. The use and development, it's referred to as a resource processing, which under the Ag Zone is a discretionary activity. The application was notified for 14 days, which is mandatory under Section 57, and no representations were received during that 14-day period. If I can walk through the development standards insofar as the use standards, it is discretionary. Louise's report mentions that the site requires a rural location by virtue of its, I guess, separation from reverse-sensitive activities, dwelling houses and so forth. There was some conjecture initially in relation to feedstocks. There was potential to take fish waste and biosolids. That does not form part of the application. I want to make it very clear we've had no representations at all from those who had joined the application site or those in the vicinity. There was some concern initially regarding the wind direction and the effect that those materials might have on Kempton, for example, which is 3K to the south. As far as the conversion of rural land for a non-rural purpose, as I said earlier, the activity involves a 24-hectare component of a 900-hectare property, and of that 6.2 hectares would be operational area. The land could revert back to rural use very quickly. It's complementary to those rural properties. It's likely that the organic waste will benefit the application site and other sites within the locality. And we don't expect there to be any emit from the activity. That will be managed through the EPA conditions. They'll be required, the authority that will manage the effects of the atmospheric emissions. Two employee numbers will be engaged on the site at any one time. We've walked through the transport and parking code. There's sufficient space on site to meet the requirements for parking and access. As mentioned, the access will be upgraded as per the A standards to allow vehicles to enter and exit in a forward direction. The application meets the acceptable solution for access. Conditions will be imposed to require necessary upgrades. There will be an increase in vehicular traffic. At the moment, there's very little traffic onto the site. It's anticipated there'll be 14 vehicles per weekday to the site. A TIA was submitted in support of the application and concluded that we need to upgrade the existing access to rural property access, adjusted to two-way use. Conditions have been applied to that effect, and that the existing road network has the capacity to accommodate the extra vehicular traffic. The recommendation is for an approval. As I mentioned earlier, conditions on page 30, there's concordance with council and also EPA conditions under conditions 1 and 2. I'm happy to take any questions in relation to questions from council. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Deputy. Just a couple of questions, Grant. The access off Lovely Banks Road, I guess there'll be trucks pulling trailers carting material to this site. Is the actual entrance set back to allow for the turning of such large vehicles, like at the quarry going down running there?
Sure. Thank you, Councillor Bussey. Through Deputy, Madam, Condition number 7 is quite prescriptive insofar as the upgrades required. On page 31. Condition number 7, top of the page, refers to the upgrade in accordance with the Gate Standard drawing, truck access to rural properties type A, and that aligns with the TIA, the traffic impact assessment prepared by Terry Eaton. So we've captured those concerns, and rightly so.
Very, very good. Now, is any material allowed to be composted there, or is there a restriction on such things as fish waste, which causes all these odour problems?
That we know through the EPA, but certainly there's been a lot of discussion in relation to feedstock into the site. As proposed initially, it was intended to take fish waste. The EPA, through discussions, and this goes back over 4 to 5 years, they required some sort of enclosure, if that was to be the case, to mitigate the escape of those odours. So Bill Cromer and the applicant have reviewed the feedstock, and this is part of the EIS that feeds into the EPA requirements, but certainly there might be some biosolids of small volume onto the site, but the limitations on that would be controlled through the EPA, but certainly we're pretty comfortable that the issues around mass volumes of fish waste won't occur on this property through the EPA, and they'll control that.
Can't think of a word. It's got a word for the smelly stuff. anyway, it doesn't matter. But they cause the problems, fish, basically.
They certainly do, and we've had situations within our council area where we know we have EPNs for managing of other situations to mitigate odour, mitigate the effects on watercourses, and maintain attenuation distances, etc. But certainly, this site is remote insofar as reverse sensitive activities on adjoining sites.
Yeah.
But certainly. We've had situations in the past with biosolids particularly where we have an odour issue. The EPA very quickly acts on those and ensures that we have a compliance with the conditions or cessation of the activity.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Madam Deputy.
Sorry, Deputy. Look, I should know. I probably feel silly for asking a question, but I come across TOGO. What are they?
OFOGO. Food organic, green organic. So that the green bins, so within the metro council areas, Councillor Fish, they have a photo collection every second week. And I guess Barwick's up on Interlaken Road, living soil or pure soil.
Yeah.
That's a FOGO site.
Yeah.
So the intention is to take in green waste and FOGO onto the site.
No, just that I hadn't come across that before.
Yeah, it's an acronym for food organic, green organic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
I'll move the motion.
Moved?
Just when you peel the veggies of a night, you're supposed to go in a different bin.
Okay, so all those in
favour? I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? No, motion carried. Thank you. Can someone bring in the mayor now, please? Thank you.
So long, mate.
Oh, it's the EPA and the feedstock, the waste. It took forever to try and refine that and the water demand for the dams and so forth. So it was quite involved. It wasn't a hold up in council. It was the EPA and the applicant.
Oh, yours?
That's a good outcome.
Thank you very much. The other matter I think is going to be...
Good. Can I provide a background, would you mind, Mr. Mayor, on the second item for the 12.2? Is that the...
Yeah,
we can defer for question time.
Yeah? Maybe we should, because people are organising their lives around the 10:30, so we'll just adjourn this sitting of the planning authority until after the conclusion of question time. So, welcome, people who have attended the meeting, and ask if there are any public questions or questions from members of the public. Nothing to raise. Hello.
Hi. Just a question about the poplar trees on the Woodstyle Back Road.
I raised that yesterday with our manager behind you, and he has promised me there will be action.
Thank you.
Yes, because I have been told there was another near miss again last couple of weeks. And
whereabouts are they?
It's the Backwoodsdale Road.
Okay.
And the Backwoodsdale Road is nearly a one vehicle road. It's very small. And we have poplar trees near a very small bridge. You just can't see oncoming traffic. And a couple of years ago we had a livestock truck nearly take out a local. They had to get right off because they couldn't see each other. And recently there were another two four-wheel drive vehicles.
Getting very close.
So Dave has said that he will ask Peter Jones, our slashing man, to do something about them.
Dave yourself, see,
they probably would. Poplar trees were planted probably 100 years ago.
A long time.
Were they? Yeah.
If I can just add to that, two stages. Basically, President Jones got to surrender the station, and then he's given back the part of the dam.
tree is blown over, instead of just cutting it up and leaving it there, why not take it away? Because now I've noticed, especially with the back road and just down there and a couple of other places, the trees are laying down, the slasher, Peter's been up to him, lifted his slasher, jumped over it and kept going. And they're still there with the grass coming up between them. They are.
Better job to remove them off the verge completely, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right off them, they've been down. Not just cut them,
yeah,
you know, into pieces.
Yeah.
Take them away.
Long-term structure works, yes.
Yeah, look, I totally get the frustration with that, but we've got a council has 870 kilometres of road network, and sometimes you know, call out situations, so it might be at night time or, you know, in an event when a tree has to be cut down and quickly send you to get it off the road, and I can say, and sometimes, yes, we are guilty of not returning.
Further from any member of the public? All right, well, that being the case, we will close the public question time.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, yes. Well,
when is the button rate going to be built? Because over the holidays, oh, you should have been down there.
Busy?
Yeah, terrible. Mm. With caravans, four-wheel drives and that, they were going flat out down there, and that's another road that is dangerous.
Mm.
It did. It's corrugated on a couple of corners where a girl rolled a car just down the road there.
Oh,
it was so corrugated that she went over. And through the holidays, I don't know how many cars went through there, and caravans.
Mm-hmm.
Caravans are getting wider, and you have to stop to let your car pass.
Yeah.
You know. And I always mow my verge outside my place so if the cars come, they can get over. They can see what's there.
Yeah.
Those can. But these other roads, you can't get off because you don't know what you're going to do. You know.
I do know that myself and former Councillor McDougall pushed for Buckland Road to be sealed twice. And we were knocked back twice because we were told that not many people, it's the number of people that live along the road that count for it to be sealed. But I totally agree with you because I went to the East Coast twice in 3 days and the day we came back was the day before they had that big party at Nugent. And the peepaters that we met were at least 10 each time in groups.
Yes.
It was amazing. So it does.
And we met them.
Yeah.
10 in a row.
Yeah.
Then there'd be a gap about, I'll say, 5.
Yeah.
Then another 10.
Yeah.
And oh, the speed goes up.
Yeah. So maybe that's something that we can look at if ever one of these grants come up again, like we did the Interlaken Road, of joining two municipalities together. Maybe that's something we can look at another time if that happens again, because I do think it would be a good idea.
And I do know that East Coast schools would like to use the pool, but they don't.
No, well, I can take your point there about that. Obviously, that road
the major part of it is Glamorgan, the Spring Bay Council. And to be fair to them, they did do a pretty fair job. So I think we've just got to make sure we're up to standard with Glamorgan and Spring Bay on our end of the road. And I'm sure that'll be under the microscope of Dave Richardson, the manager of infrastructure and works, in the next budget session, because it's going to cost money. We're going to either widen it or not widen it so much. I suppose it's clear the verges. Would that be a process that would be undertaken there, Dave? What do you think?
Yeah, look, in relation to the ceiling of Buckland Road, yes, it was been raised previously, and you know, we all want sleep blacks up on the road, but you can't, it's not just a matter of going and putting a seal over the existing road. For starters, it would not last a year, it would fall apart, the seal would, and we'd be spending a huge amount of money on maintenance on it, certainly a lot more than what we currently do. Secondly, when you reconstruct a road, you've got to deal with what's called Ausrail standards. So there's a number of corners, etc., on there that would need major earthwork. So you're talking about a whole reconstruction of that, you know, 13 k's of road. Now that would come at a price tag probably between $5 to $7 million to do that. And currently, that's out of our reach, as the Deputy Mayor alluded to. If any grants come along, like we was lucky enough to secure one for Interlaken Road, that is what we'll be targeting, is that. Because just putting a seal over it, you've got to remember that you're also increasing the speed to 100, which we're all talking about how people speed on there. Well, it's an 80k road now. As soon as you put black stuff on it, it's a 100k road. It's a deep up speed. So you've got to obviously make modifications to the road to be able to accommodate those speed environments. So point taken, it's certainly on the radar, has been for a number of years, and if and when some government grants or election promises, etc., from the feds comes up, that will be from the road or archy point of view, that's certainly up there on the list.
Why not do so much at a time?
You can, and to do, but as I said, we could what's called road stabilisation, but that's, you're still looking at probably $150,000 to $200,000 per kilometre. But that particular road, you can't just stabilise it because it needs major, because you're upgrading it to the seal, so you're changing it from 80 to 100 cover.
Some of the roads that you reseal again, they break up in a matter of months.
Yeah, there's a difference between a stabilising and a resealing. A resealing is just like putting a new washing on the
pad. All right, well, we don't want to necessarily get into a debate about that, but we take your point. It's obviously a matter of money. Yeah, everything can be cured if there's a sufficient amount of funds available, and to do the sort of works that you're contemplating is not within the reach of the Southern Midlands Council at the moment, but yeah, long term it's something we should be keeping an eye on to see whether or not some Commonwealth money or the like could be made available to do those works.
Yeah, it's been going on a long time. 15 years ago I asked that it be sealed.
Yeah.
They had reasons like now why they couldn't see it. Yeah.
Another thing to say another money, if the rats come out, we've got four properties, we get four lots of rats in separate envelopes. Why not put them all together?
Well, if you paid your rates straight up, you wouldn't get four. Do you pay your rates straight up?
No, because I don't think it's too good enough job on the road. I'm not giving you money to spend.
No, well, you're saving money if you do give us the money straight up in one paper. You get a discount.
Did you all come from Oakland this morning?
No. Well, I come from Melton Mowbray, so I came up from Runnymede.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Of course, you could dog saved money by getting the bus to come out here. Instead of separate cars, the whole lot.
Yes, yeah. All right. Well, so that concludes our question time, and we thank you for your comments about all of that, which I'm sure has helped councillors and the council particularly. We're now going to resume the council acting as a planning authority, and there was an application in relation to case patrolling, and
so thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yesterday afternoon we had a phone call from the applicant, Nathan Furlow, to the Mayor and General Manager in relation to the recommendation, which was to support the amendment of the scheme to allow for a fuel station as a discretionary activity in the rural zone. And secondly to that was to decline or not support the DA side of the equation insofar as the signage and built form within the scenic road corridor. So the applicant said yesterday they wanted to withdraw the signage component from the application. I thought that was unreasonable given the fact that council had been given an agenda in advance of the meeting. Council staff hadn't had a chance to consider the application without signage, nor had the councillors. Council staff hadn't had a chance to look at conditions of approval should it be approved, and that the request and timeframe was unreasonable. We've agreed to withdraw it from today's meeting. The applicant emailed council yesterday afternoon, provided an email saying that they would support an extension of time because we have to request the commission to grant council more time to assess and determine this application. And we don't see why that wouldn't happen, but certainly this will come back to council next month. We expect some changes with the application insofar as citing of the built form. As it was proposed initially, there's a, I guess we'll call it an amenities block, quite close to the road corridor boundary within the centre corridor. I understand that's going to be relocated to the other side of the site, so things will be outside the corridor. The corridor won't have any influence at all, or much influence at all, on the revised application that will come to council next meeting. So that's a quick update. So,
no, that's great.
Yep.
Oh,
thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
you. And just as an interest, I'm not the other councillors have across this, but I don't know what a blade sign is or
Mr. Mayor, a blade sign is a freestanding sign. The proposed blade sign in this situation was 6 metres high and 2.4 metres in width, and it was going to be illuminated. And it's going to be on the corner of the property boundary and the scenic corridor. So
we talk it's like a shaft or something,
yeah.
Is it?
So
yeah.
The one that's showing the petrol prices.
Yep, correct. It's a blade sign. Okay. So to move away from signage to no signage is interesting insofar as I guess their client base will be...
They don't need signs.
No.
Contractual.
Yeah. So
with transport operator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's running it out these days to locations and yeah. So yeah.
Do we need a motion in relation to that?
Before you go that far, I've got a question that I'd like answered. It says there will be no selling or installing of motor vehicle parts. If a truck breaks down like a universal joint, makes it very hard for towing, you've got to take it out, you've got to replace it. So why can't they have, except in emergency?
I guess we're getting into the finer details, the definition of what we're going to allow to occur potentially on that site. The intention was to protect existing vehicle service repairs within Oatlands. Those large transport firms, Councillor Campbell, they would probably make a call to, a tow truck company, or they'll have a fleet service that could respond to that vehicle in a quicker time frame. So we don't want to have on that site any retail sales that are peripheral, any vehicle repair sales. We want to try and protect what's happening.
I understand that.
Yeah, so.
But I'm referring to emergency.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a consideration for council. But certainly it would be one that they managed within their fleet, I would have thought. Yeah.
Very good. So there's been an extension of time.
Correct.
Agreed to. So what will...
I think we should have a motion.
We'll have a motion to the effect that council notes that the proponents have agreed
to an
extension of time and for the matter to be adjourned to the council meeting
24th of February.
Moved by Councillor Deputy. Seconded by Councillor Deputy. Those in favour? Aye. 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 A General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this idea really started off in Central Highlands Council. And after a bit of consideration, they've really sort of embraced the idea of investigating this and applying some resources, i.e. my time and a bit of other officer time. And the question is Southern Midlands Council also interested in this idea and wanting to pursue an investigation of it? The time frame is that do a bit of a deep dive and try and aim to get something back by the March Council meeting. So just to explain the whole idea of the Dark Sky Reserve, so I've got in there some information about how mainly in the northern hemisphere of the world light pollution is blocking out the stars from very, very large percentage of the populations in North America, Europe and now Asia. And it is actually becoming a thing to go to add into your tourism experience going somewhere where there is a dark sky. And the example I think that I've mentioned there is there's one in the middle of New Zealand, an actual dark sky reserve, and they make a big deal about it, and they get a lot of tourists making the decision to go to that part of the world for all the other things, but also because of the dark sky reserve. The fabulous thing about tourism for dark sky is that it gets people out of the main cities and it gets them to stay overnight in rural areas. So it really fits well with places like Central Highlands and Southern Midlands and possibly Derwent Valley as well, of that region of dispersal of tourists to get them out and about. And you'll find that people will set up, or the existing tourism businesses and perhaps new tourism businesses will really start to promote this. Now, a dark sky reserve is the second highest category that an area can achieve, and there's only a bit over 20 of these in the whole world. So to actually achieve that would be a huge thing, and we shouldn't underestimate what that will be. And my report in March, I think, would get a bigger handle on what that all is. There's an international association which licenses these things, and to achieve that status, there's a very high bar to be set. A category further down is a dark sky community or park is the term, where it's sort of a purely a voluntary thing. There's a lot of those around the world, but it doesn't have the same sort of sex appeal in terms of driving tourism to an area for these people in the Northern Hemisphere that are increasingly becoming more and more aware of this idea of going somewhere where you can really see the whole Milky Way and everything. We take it for granted when we're here. So Northern Midlands I saw trying to push the idea of a dark sky community, I think it's called, and there was a recent decision at ELGAT conference to have a look at this for all of Tasmania, and that's a good thing, but we don't want too many other councils to get hold of this idea.
No.
but certainly, you know, Launceston, Hobart, Devonport, Burnie, they've got too much light coming out of those cities to achieve such a high thing as a dark sky reserve. And my gut feeling is that we should investigate aiming for dark sky reserve in the first instance. If we can't meet all the criteria or it's too hard or there's too much opposition, then we might come back to a dark sky community or dark sky park. But in the first instance, let's aim for the top. Arm for the stars. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's it. I think we'll adopt that motto. If you aim for the stars, you've got to see them first. So.
That's weird to keep people in the dark. Which might be more fitting for council activities. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, you're probably aware that that destination Southern Tasmania, Alice Herois there, is aiming to try and get Dark Sky Sanctuary for the Wilderness World Heritage Area. Dark Sky Sanctuary is the highest level of these sorts of things. And we've got towns and private land, you don't really have a chance of meeting the very high criteria for minimal light pollution to actually achieve that, but national parks and whatnot can achieve that. So potentially we're looking at an area which has the Wilderness World Heritage Area, bits of Derwent Valley, a fair chunk of Central Highlands, and then coming over into Southern Midlands could be one big, fantastic dark sky reserve. And I mentioned in there that to achieve this status, there does need to go the extra step of there being some statutory requirements for new development that would be, I imagine, an overlay in the planning scheme, and therefore new development will have to comply with the standards to make sure that all external lighting is fitting there. So. The mantra is from the International Dark Sky Association that these requirements are not onerous, they're just a matter of the right lights and the right baffling and making sure they're shining down and only coming on when they need to.
I was going to say, Damien, we've had several discussions on this with Heritage Highway at our meetings because we've got Mary, Mayor of Northern Midlands, and there's a group at Ross that are really pushing it.
Okay.
And we are very lucky, quite regularly, Alex attends our meetings, so he's, of course, giving us lots of information. So we're right behind it. The Heritage Highway Committee are right behind it.
Well, that's
so
next week, too.
That's next week as well. We've got
May the motion, the recommendation, Mr. Mayor, to investigate the proposal.
And I'll second it.
All right.
Because it will bring a lot of people to do this.
Do people read the District of Ron Kalila's documentation?
Yes, so Mr. Mayor, so one thing that we could do as a stepping stone is to adopt our own internal council policy.
Yeah.
I've got that example there, which basically says council will set an example by making sure its external lighting complies. Now, there's two aspects of that. There's what we do in the future, but there's also the issue of what about our existing external lighting on our buildings and sports.
Yeah, because I remember former Councillor John Jones was very adamant about all of this in relation to Kempton with its mood lighting or its amber lighting.
Okay.
We wrestled with that problem for a long time.
Part of this, of going forward with this in the future, would actually have to be an audit of Council's own lights, and that would have to be done by an expert person, and so this would be a cost just to get a handle on what lighting do we have that's non-compliant and how much would it cost to fix those things up. So that's an outstanding issue that needs to all be looked at in terms of getting council to be on board with this in a practical sense.
I believe that was the problem with Northern Midlands. They were sort of focusing on Ross.
Mm-hmm.
That they did that audit and the lights are not quite right.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to, if they want to continue, they're going to have to put it in their budget to change the lights.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So there will be a lot of budget ramifications for this.
Well, is there any budgetary implications to the motion that we've put forward now?
The only one is a bit more of my time. I've estimated one day a fortnight until maybe March to investigate this further and talk with various stakeholders. Sounds like I need to come to the Heritage Highway meeting.
Well, as long as councillors understand that, when they're voting.
So we're not committing to, we're not selling a sheep station here.
Yes, okay.
We're investigating at this stage.
Well, it's come to a situation where maybe the council staff is checking on private residents.
What this would have to be a voluntary thing for existing private lighting. There would have to be a voluntary education thing. There may be grant money that we can get from state or federal government to assist people convert, especially if they've got very light polluting lights that need to be brought under control. So I've mentioned here that a plan going forward, if we do go forward with this at some point, would be an extensive community consultation and stakeholder consultation process to get a handle on what are the private lights out there. I mean, there's probably commercial businesses out there that have a lot of unnecessary light pollution going up into the sky.
Probably the wrong lights as well.
The wrong lights, yeah. So it's all about the right lights.
Yeah.
And if people do convert over, then they end up being more efficient as well. So they would save money long term on their power bills.
All right. Well, I think we've got a pretty good handle on what we're aiming on there.
So that rules out an airport in Southern Midlands, Mr. Mayor.
Well, or a dog racing track.
Yes, a dog
racing
track. Can still do spot lighting for possums? That was a question of its
Now, do the move was Councillor Christie, second to the deputy, I think.
That's correct.
Yes, very good. No further debate? Those in favour?
Mr. Mayor, this, as the report says, is the culmination or the end of the whole process to create a new Baghdad-Mangalore structure plan. It's been through quite an extensive process with community consultation, external independent consultants, project working group with councillors on it, and community representatives and council officers. We had a good look at this at the councillor workshop last week, and the recommendation is that it's appropriate to now endorse the new Baghdad-Mangalore structure plan.
All right, well, this has been passed at our workshop, of course. Councillors, I assume, are well across it, but if there is any further debate, now's the time.
Just one question, Mr. Mayor. Damien, when you say the recommendation report be endorsed by council and that the previous Baghdad-Mangalore structure plan 2010 be rescinded, surely that's got to stop in place until the TPC approve the structure plan.
No, the TPC do not approve structure plans. This is just our council strategic document. I just added that on to make it clear that we're no longer considering the 2010 plan the guiding document.
It's a council thing, not a TPC.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, given it's a policy document, a strategy document, should it sit on the table for a month before being adopted?
My own comment, I think it requires endorsement to be able to reflect that in our submission to the straws, rather than it still be subject to council endorsement.
The submission to Strulis will be after the next council meeting. It'll be at the end of February.
It's basically the following day.
Yeah.
Where if this sits on the table for a month, the submission can't be reflected the fact that this plan's been endorsed.
That's true.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, I think it's probably different than a policy document. I think we can argue that, can't we?
Yeah.
So, look, I haven't got a mover yet.
Thank
you, Councillor Fish.
And I'll second.
Councillor Campbell. Well, unless you've got any furious objection to that, maybe. All right, very good. Well, look, I'll put the motion then that structure plan be endorsed by council and the previous Baghdad-Mangalore structure plan of 2010 be rescinded. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you, sir, council. Look, this concludes the session of council acting on a planning authority.
Councillor Dudgeon.
Are we going to have
we're
a break?
We're going to have a meeting.
Move deputy and seconded.
I'll second. Infrastructure and Works, Mr. David Richardson. His report is before you. Did you want to speak to your report there, Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I'll just throw it open to Council Wars and seek any questions or anything regarding the content of the report or any other questions or anything relating to Works and Infrastructure.
What about road grading? Have you had that water on the road?
Yes, Councillor Fish, yes. So grading in certain areas we're kind of limited due to water. It is becoming more challenging basically every day to our normal watering holes, as I call them, where we get water from, depleting rather quickly. So it is becoming an issue. We're not deliberately stopping grading because of that at the moment, but if you know it continues to be dry, we're going to have some challenges.
Yeah.
I must say, I think generally our unsealed road network, most of the roads that I've travelled in the last month or so are in pretty good shape, but this time of year being so dry.
Not too bad.
No.
I'll go before Councillor Campbell starts his long list there by the looks of it. Lamotte Road, corner after Manning's driveway, and you're heading towards Bont Hill, there's that really sharp corner you've got to go around. A couple of weeks ago, a vehicle went through Bont Hill's fence. I was just wondering, can we just put a sign there saying sharp corner? Because it really is a very sharp corner. And before Christmas, someone spoke to me about the Lake Dolverton walking track, sort of from where the pine trees used to be, from sort of towards, you know, walking towards Prater, how overgrown it was, and the track seems to be getting smaller than what originally was. Whether we can sort of come springtime really look at giving it a good treatment and making sure it's mowed, because it is used very regularly, and it'd be awful to see that track come to just a one person track, whereas now, yeah. So if that can happen, thanks Dave.
No problem at all, certainly look into that, and I'll take it up with our NRM.
Yeah. Yep, oh, okay, and we've talked about the poplar trees on Blackwood Star Road, so that was it, thank you.
Yes, Councillor Kelly, you might as well. Cracking.
Now, I brought it up council meeting prior in relation to Tunnock Main Road and Blackgate Road intersection, poor line of sight. And I got a reply to it, and I do believe that the works manager got a reply to it, and their attitude was, the government attitude was, not enough vehicles, not enough movement, roughly 460 daily movements on that road, Tunnock Main Road, but there were no figures in relation to Blackgate Road. So, would it be possible to put the counter on Blackgate Road to find out how many vehicles are travelling along Blackgate Road coming out that intersection?
Yes, Councillor Campbell, to answer your question, yes, we can certainly deploy the traffic counter and we'll get a confirmed traffic counter.
then when you've got the figures from there, then you can proceed to the next step. But the other question that I seem to get, other questions put to me, in relation to guideposts laying on the ground, broken, bent, twisted. And I know council workers have been passed a number of them a number of times, nothing done. When I used to live in Sulwich Beach, and I used to work with Robbie Scott from Wollonga Council, their formula was that all their trucks that were out doing work would carry guideposts, and if they were coming back to the depot, they would stop and they would put in guideposts until they just about ran out of time, and then they would proceed back to the depot. And when I did a bit of checking, Oakland Council used to do it. So, could we bring that back?
A couple of issues there, Councillor Campbell, in relation to, so it's not a one-man show putting in a guidepost. Under the new traffic guidance scheme, you need full line traffic management, so which would probably involve four employees to put in one single guidepost. So going out to put in a guidepost nowadays is, yes, I take your point, in the old days, where, you know, someone would be driving past and go, that needs fixing. The direction is to the employees now, as I was raised earlier, where they drive past trees on sides of roads and things like that are being cut down. Without the appropriate traffic management, I will be in breach of every work health and safety policy in Australia, and I have directed them not to do that. So that is the rationale behind that. It's reality, it's nowadays, it's what we've got to work with. So when we do targeted programs, i.e. guideposting on various roads, it's a whole team and a whole crew dedicated to go out and do those roads. It's just a matter of prioritising resources to be able to enable that to happen. And, I know, Woodstar Road, perfect example. Cars can go through, clean up guidepost one night, some idiot in a ball driver with a ball bar thinks it's fun. And, you know, we see the down guideposts as well as everyone else. But it's not a simple, just drive past and bang a guidepost in. Is all I'm saying. But I do take on board what you're saying, and it is difficult when we have 800 odd kilometres of road to keep every guidepost up.
Moving on from the guideposts, I had some comments come from Tunbridge in relation to the southern entrance as you drive up the hill on the highway, and it's been raised a number of times. Has there been any answer back from the government as to why they won't do it?
Yes, I spoke regularly to the traffic engineer there, and that has been raised with him, and his comment typically was, yeah, it's all called funding. They have limited funding at the moment. Certainly the state government does when it comes to road infrastructure upgrades.
Then heading to your pothole gang. Woodstar Road down by Scott's, there's potholes in the road.
No.
Yeah.
In a road, there's
potholes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And same as Stonehenge, there's
potholes. Can I just ask Councillor Campbell what Scott family, because Woodstar have a lot of Scott family.
Down by Fenton Scott, both sides.
I wouldn't call them piles, that's just the seal breaking up.
That's
there.
The breakup.
Call them whatever you like. An Inglewood Road from the Lamont Road turnout going down to Stonehenge. You've got bare rock up through the road. You've got piles, you've got washouts, you've got corrugations. Not a comfortable road to drive down.
Yes, I'll just make one comment in relation to that. So we're proposing one of the reasons is that area is the limited resources for gravel. However, we have currently sitting with planning and the EPA an approval to upgrade our Stonehenge quarry, which will certainly make the availability of the gravel resource a lot better for the whole lot of the roads in that area. So in the next couple of months, I'm hoping that will be approved, and it's certainly not the right time of year to be resheeting the road, as in gravel resheeting. We've got to wait till we have favourable weather conditions, i.e. a bit of moisture. And as soon as we can get some material out of Stonehenge Quarry, all the roads in that area will receive a significant bit of level.
You
don't
just get
your
water out of the dam,
don't you? Yeah, it's not just water. You've got to have moisture in the gravel as well.
All right. That's your lot. That's my lot. I'm fine. Think I should finish this.
Yeah, no.
Just to say, I was pleased to see the seeding around the ticket nets at Kempton.
That's good.
It's hard to grow, isn't
it? Yeah, well, the nets were poorly constructed in terms of anyone who plays cricket, because balls escape down the bottom side of the nets. So, someone constructed a set of wooden barriers in the bottom of the net so the balls don't. Because anyone who plays on the league side, which is most of the kids, will just go straight out of the nets and you've got to box them all around the oval.
Part of the fitness ratio.
Anyway, I fixed it up. I don't know whether I'm going to comply with all the work standards. Sign issues.
Works in progress. Risk assessment.
None of that was done. But the balls don't go out there anymore, and most of it's now cut up for good. So,
perfect.
Good work. Just as a matter of interest, that Kempton Oval and the playground and the development of all of that, is that going anywhere?
Just waiting on an updated. Yeah, long story. Waiting on an updated brochure, more so on the updated prices. Our normal contacts somewhere in overseas and yes, so the answer is yes.
So I just question to do with Kempton. A couple of ladies at the Broadmarsh function on Monday saw how wonderful the Broadmarsh toilets were, and they wanted to know. A couple of Kempton ladies, I think you probably guess who they were. Now, it is planned to do something to the toilets at the rec ground, isn't it, or not? Because
the ultimate plan is to demolish and build a new set.
Yeah, that's what we thought, that something was going to happen.
Yes, that's my fault, sorry. I did take those couple of people around and show them.
I told them to go out and find you and go and have a look at
you. Don't boast when you have good facilities. You just set a standard for others.
as they stated, those toilets do get used a lot by travelling public, so...
Yeah, and caravans and all that.
Yeah, so it's something that needs to be on the radar, definitely.
Public toilets are in between, too.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your report.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, can I just ask a question of the councillors? So the bus tour proposed, is there anywhere specific that any councillors would, or any project or anything that you would like to actually look at on the bus tour?
I thought maybe Campania.
Yeah,
because we're getting a lot.
That's on the agenda, definitely.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, I think that would
Lovely
be.
Banks Road's another one. So we'll go from Oaklands via Lovely Banks down to through Coalhook and onto Campania. But is there anything else of any interest that anyone would like to?
I was going to say, while we're at Campania, can we have a look at the new clubroom?
Yes, that's the focus. Yep. Yes. Hopefully it's got wiring in it, shall we?
All right. That's a good suggestion. Thanks.
So if you still come up with anything you'd like to look at, just let me know. I'll certainly add it on to the itinerary. Baghdad, the new acquisition, I think we might stop in there.
Oh, yes, yes. Admire the new... Whatever
we're going to call it. It's not too far out of the way. We could do back of Woodsdale Road. They've been talking about Poplars on
back. That'll
be
done by
the time. Oh, I mean, yeah, okay.
That'll be completed.
Yeah, okay. Good.
All right. Well, the recommendation is that the infrastructure and works report be received. Information okay. 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 Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Seconded. Councillor Fish. Further discussion? Recommendation no in favour.
Aye.
Okay. Thanks very much, Mr. Elizabeth. We cross over now. This is for information that could be received in relation to the Tas irrigation.
Move.
Second. Move to Councillor Bisbee. Second to Councillor Campbell.
I take it that the group has a copy of this letter, or do they know what's in it? Send a copy on to
Gary.
Yes. Barry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, we did take every opportunity to try to press home the necessity of delivering water, not only there, but down through, you know, I don't know whether it's Bradley's Lake or Lake Echo, one of those areas up there in the Central Highlands region, to get water ultimately through, I suppose, Lower Marshes, Apsley, Kempton, Milton, across that way, and to advance that scheme. And we, in our correspondence, we have tried to poke the bear in that regard. I don't know whether we've got a response specifically about that, did we?
Other than it's their priority is to progress the particularly the, what do I call it, the Greater South East scheme. And then, so jointly they've agreed to put that on hold, basically, is the simple answer. We might try and seek an update as to where that Greater South East scheme is at. Blackwell asked me on Monday. As to whether we'd had any further information, and apparently he's a member of the working group and hasn't heard anything for a considerable period. So.
I thought Andrew McShane was the landowner's rep for that scheme.
That's the Midlands scheme.
I think
Midlands scheme, it's not there.
No, not
you haven't heard anything? No. Yeah, apparently Arthur's a rep and he hasn't heard anything. Mm.
You get a random email every now and again. I can't think of the last time I got one.
Which ticks the business case. So whether it's probably just in the detailed design stage, but they're not sharing that information.
All right, well,
I'll see if I can find the last one I've got for you.
We'll receive that information and further note that GM is going to make a request for an update on progress of that scheme. Happy for that slight amendment. Councillor Bisbee, Councillor Campbell. Yeah. Very good. With the motion, those in favour? Thank you. Now, Heritage Project Program Report, item 14.1.1.
I move.
Thank you, Deputy.
Sir.
Councillor Bisbee, second that. Letter of thanks to be drafted. for the mayor's signature. Thank you, Mr. Rory, for permanent loan at the Colby probation station. Well, I haven't seen that, but everybody's happy with that. That I signed such.
Yep,
I will. Was there a date for that activity?
No, it's just an ongoing. It'll be ongoing display in the jail, this resident.
Yeah, but they're not going to have a.
No, launch. Nothing with the ribbon or anything.
No, okay.
Not tomorrow.
Okay, we'll move in a second. Any further discussion? I will look at the motion. Okay. All right.
Thank
you. I have unit manager has provided a report, item 15.2.1.
I can move then.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. Seconded by Councillor Blackburn. But that information be received, you know. Any comments?
I'd just like to say one thing. Mary has been provided me with the weed of the week, and I've put it onto the Broadmarsh site, and it's getting a lot of hits. Like, we've had over 1,000 each time hits, so
wow.
People are going on having a look, which is not a bad thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few that's weeds that'll be clear, isn't it? How's cotton thistles getting about?
Oh, up in the northern Midlands, the back road at Campbelltown, one prominent farmer up there just let them go.
Gee.
And they're just going to take over. It's horrible to see when you drive through there.
Yeah, pretty fearsome looking things, aren't they? They're awful. Farmers have got to be vigilant, I guess.
Sure.
Certain council's got to play its part in terms of
ensuring their roadways
and
fields,
which is good.
Very few councils would have a weeds office, I understand. Dedicated weeds office.
Anyway, I see Dr. Bob Brown is keeping an eye on the municipality. Pleases us all. Ah, well, he found some daisy fish.
Rocking in the
daisy. Yeah. Going through the tulips. Okay, a mover and a seconder. Those in favour, those against, the ayes have Councillor Fish moved to them. Very good. The report of the Animal Management Officer is before you as well.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Kenny.
Even though I saw a calf on the road and three sheep and one chook and one something big rooster on the way up.
Notice there's some chooks around the tip at Andover now too.
The tip at Andover?
Yeah, in the paddock opposite there's been three or four chooks there regularly.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. Someone might dump them, and I'm just saying they're living around the tip area.
I'm not laying eggs. I've got to move that to wait a second.
I second.
Thank you, everybody. Is there any further comment about the report? It's itemised now, very particular, which is good. Lot of the trials in
I do have one question. That is, when she does that report, could she widen those lines up a little bit wider so that the print can be slightly bigger and clearer, easier to read? You've got the room to do it. But when it's printed and it smokes a little bit, it comes forward to read.
We did attempt to we have reduced our size of that table considerably to get on the one page, and that's our consideration in this instance. But
yeah, but on the computer you can widen the lines a little bit.
No, I think that's
of course,
very good, thanks for that. Come in, I've got a mover and a seconder. I'll put the motion in favour.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the Oakland Aquatic Centre. This is the coordinator's report. And the recommendation is that we receive and note that information. Do I have a mover?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Disty, and second, Councillor Cannon.
Pleasing to see the the income is up year to date by 30 odd grand, but unfortunately the expenditure is up about the same amount, a bit less. But still, the main thing is we're not going backwards.
I had a good talk to Adam on Monday at the presentation, and he was saying, he said, I'll you'll all be upset that December is down with income, but he asked me to let everyone know that he had sent out all the invoices to the school and hasn't received that money. So January's going to look fantastic.
Money coming
in for January, but the schools will be and.
We'll put it
as
the 1st of January.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it's going well. It's popular.
Yeah.
And everyone raves about it.
Yeah, I wonder how we actually go in terms of comparative with other cool organisations, like cool sort of running this stuff.
They're all losing money except one.
I wonder whether we're going better or worse.
I'd suggest we'd be probably one of the more efficient, but there's too many variables.
Yeah, only six lanes,
25 metres, others are 8 lanes, 50 metres. Mm-hmm. So ours is unique design in itself. So Georgetown's probably the latest one that's just completed their designs. And big money to build it. Big money to operate. Yeah. I don't know where they're going to get a problem.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people up at Georgetown that don't want it. Can I just share a story that Adam told me regarding the new vehicle?
Oh, yes.
No, he's ute.
He's ute, sorry.
You know how it's all labelled?
Yep.
He was in one of the large shopping centres a couple of weeks ago. And he had his clothing on, Oakland's pool, whatever. And the lady had seen the vehicle in the car park. And then she spotted Adam with his gear on, and she went to him and said, I've taken my grandkids there, and I just want to commend what a wonderful facility you have at Oakland's. And he said he couldn't get away from it. And at least 20 minutes or more, she just talked and talked. And so the ute is working. She spotted it in the car park and then spotted the clothing.
Yeah.
And,
perfect.
So there you go.
All right, well, any further comment in relation to the report from the corporate coordinator? No? Okay, I've got a mover and a second. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? The open recreation ground installation of electric scoreboard. General Manager.
Well, I'll say it's the small things that make a big difference. fairly straightforward. It's really to keep things moving on this project to try and ensure that it's in place before the start of the 26th season. So the footy club has been proactive in terms of what they've done. I'd be, given council's commitment, I'd be fairly confident, highly confident, the AFL Telstra footy grant will be successful, knowing that the AFL has already followed up and asked two questions, so they must be looking very closely at it. So really it'll bring council's contribution down to the 30. I'll be fairly confident in that. So the recommendation that is we proceed with the project.
I move.
I'll second.
All right. Everybody understands that? So I've moved by the deputy, seconded by Councillor Frank Pond. And I guess we are committing the full 50.
I'm confident we are, and we will. I did contact him. No, I'll look at that, yes. Thanks.
Well, look, on that basis, so we got it in full or in part. So basically,
worst case, it will be worst case.
We all understand that, do we? Yeah. What you're voting on?
Yep.
All right, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
All right.
Now, the installation of the electric school board video.
No, that's
okay. Which is the next pack? Where are we going? We're looking at 17.1. Well, this is a junior mayor, deputy mayor policy. We discussed this at the workshop.
We did. That's
it's in our attachments there amongst the.
Amongst
the trees. Thanks, Councillor. I was struggling for that. But look, practically, it's for consideration. But have a good look at it and we'll see it back next month. Do I have a move for that, I think? Was there any general comments about it from what councillors saw, just to sort of help us over that period? So did you want to speak to Wendy?
Other than I added that the students could come from other schools and home school children are eligible as well.
Yep.
But it's all discussed at the workshop.
Yeah. Everyone happy with that?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll put the mic. Those in
favour?
Oh, yes. Thank you. The electoral package. GM?
Yes. So there's two bills that have been circulated for comment. As suggested at the workshop, I didn't circulate copies of the bills, relying primarily on that that overview document, but really just looking at the agenda, there's a number of key issues that we can either say nay, yay, agree or disagree. So in terms of the electoral bill, that's really a whole new act that will replace all the electoral provisions that currently exist. So, in terms of the first key issue is the election of the mayor, deputy mayor, sorry, around the table rather than being directly elected. Yay or nay?
Is that for the full period?
This is for every year.
For the whole 4 years?
Election going forward.
Yeah, but you don't do it every year.
No,
it's a 4-year term.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm
trying to.
How's the deputy feel
about this? The only thing I had against it is last time I had all my posters changed to put vote for the deputy down the bottom. Yeah. So if it gets in and I was.
Take that off.
With respect, it's 4 years down the track, you might have to update your photo.
Oh, but it is the same photo, I'm not changing that.
I personally wonder.
With respect,
I'm not
I
just wonder why that.
That gives us a lot of
sense. Yeah, why they're doing it this way, what's the benefit to doing it that way?
My general comment, a lot of this reform has either been brought about or caused by local government.
Yeah.
There's been issues around the state where maybe the deputy mayor's been popularly elected but doesn't get on with the other
mayors or
councillors that are elected.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a safeguard that. At least the deputy mayor will have the support of those that are sitting around the table post election.
And you guarantee that the person that you're appointing is actually a councillor, because when you vote,
the person isn't a councillor,
that's right,
as deputy mayor until he or she gets across the line.
And we have, and we've had two cases of that within our council that it hasn't happened. They've been voted in as deputy mayor, but not as a councillor.
So look, I'm in favour of myself. I don't know what councillors can, but if we have to,
if it has to be that way, it has to be that way. Yeah. It doesn't.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way. We can say no. We want to have a separate election for deputy mayor if you want to. But as a council group, I think what Jim's asking us is to say yes or no.
I think the general public would like to have a say.
Well, there you go. Councillor Fisher's good.
That's what you're saying too, Bob?
I'm saying no to the changes.
So you want the deputy mayor to have a vote?
Popular
vote.
Okay.
What do you say, Councillor
Christie? I'm guided by the deputy. I mean, the deputy is in the position to judge these things because of the way it's conducted. But I'm easy if it's a popular vote.
One
way
or the other, if you don't vote. What are you saying, deputy? Round the table or popular vote?
It doesn't worry me, but I have an opinion that
if you're in the public,
I'll be happy either way.
I'll say then, if it's going to be like that, let the people have to say.
Okay. I don't think there's any disagreement in terms of what is currently the general manager's role being transferred to the electoral commission just general election role. In terms of when we talked about it briefly at the workshop, in terms of the definition around occupant, sought clarification that from the local government division, basically there is no change. The electoral commissioner sought a definition of occupancy within the Act, so they put it in, providing that there's a formal agreement, tenancy agreement or whatever else. Occupancy doesn't necessarily mean reside, it just means occupying. So really there's no change. So I don't think there'd be no disagreement for the general manager's role to transfer to the electoral commission.
I've had feedback in the past when they say, oh, the general manager's role, that's rigged. So if going to the electoral means that gets rid of all that.
Not rigged.
I don't think you'll find a disappointed general manager. I don't think we would have any issues in the electoral commissioner having the right to, for having the ability to adopt flexible voting methods taking into account cost, operational issues and the like, seeing around Australia post. The ONA, election candidates must complete mandatory pre-election training, which will be provided by ILGAP. This does not apply to incumbent councillors. Well, we certainly know the minister's position on this one.
It's a discouragement to anyone considering
standing. I agree.
Once they get elected, they should do proper process. My only recollection, I can remember the minister made the comment at the ILGAP meeting, is that some newly elected members were successful, got elected, and then thought, I don't even know what my role was, and I don't want to be doing this.
Didn't understand the role,
so I don't think it might be onerous training. It would just be some level of...
It's a briefing session, isn't it? Training probably on with it. We ran one last time, which was just an information sharing. Some people decided to proceed, others not.
I would change the wording to briefing session, not training session.
No, I think the idea is that they have some sort of acknowledgement
accreditation.
Like a certificate.
You've got to do that, you might do it across the board. Local government, state government, federal government, they should all have to do it before they become a candidate.
Good luck.
Good luck.
That's the flip side, but yay or nay?
Well,
yeah.
Sounds like a nay, aren't you?
I think they need to do it.
You're a yes?
I do too.
Yes.
I'll go to yes.
Two nays?
It'll be different,
yay or nay. You're a nay,
and I think we have to, if we have new people get on, we have to encourage them to go to any sort of planning thing, any sort of session on planning that's put forward, or that weekend that's in Launceston, to get meet and greet. And
so you might feel part of the broader local government, the targeted reform is that the Act will require councils to have their own professional development plans for individual councillors. So any shortcomings that will obviously be reflected in a forward development program and must be funded accordingly. So I think your concern, which I agree with, will be picked up there.
Yeah. Just a question.
Okay, about this one.
Here you go.
No, I want to catch up. Is this a debate about the mandatory pre-election training?
No, another
question.
So
we'll just get an answer on this. So we've got three against it and two. I'm agree against it.
I think I'll be against it.
Yeah. We're on the basis that we want everybody to stand, and in our particular district, we're struggling to get people to stand.
So what happens if someone wants to nominate and refuses to do it? They automatically disqualified or not allowed to stand? Or
their nomination won't be accepted. So I think if these reforms went through, when the nomination is submitted, obviously it'll be ticked off for the required number of signatures, the required statements form part of it, the required...
You've got to get the statements, you've got to get the signatures as well.
That is one area that the local government division has certainly said that it has not been supported.
30 is too many.
It'll arrive somewhere between 2 and 30, but we'll have that discussion in a minute.
I don't think a 30 matters much. Look, if someone wants to get on the council, want me to put my name to it, whatever, it's what I put my name to, but probably.
I know. We're going to get it, so that's it. Electoral expenditure. Sorry, now, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay, the next one is the electoral expenditure limits aligned with legislative council spending rules. $10,000 for most councils, $16,000 for Hobart. Sure, none of us are going to spend $10,000.
Well, these are limits, you can spend whatever you like.
That's right.
Have you? No comment. So, they're the key reforms in the electoral bill.
The
electoral reforms bill. Mm-hmm. So we had a brief look through that return, the personal interest return. It consisted of 15, 16 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was circulated with your agenda papers. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what's your thoughts?
Not 30.
Very dangerous.
It's very onerous. Is it over the top? Is it?
Well, that's my idea.
Do we maintain the current system that is just record interests as and when they arise, but no advanced?
I'd leave it as it is.
I think that's enough.
Where's the example that needs to be further reformed?
If you want, if you're on the board of BHP, you'd accept it. But it's a different context, isn't it?
And then is this publicly available?
On the website.
Mm.
Privacy.
We do have to obviously disclose a pecuniary interest if we're voting on a particular matter. I think councillors, certainly our councillors anyway, have got their heads around when and where not to do that.
That's right.
Seems to be enough. Yeah, I'm in the.
Again?
I don't want to add anything. Motions are again.
Again. Second one, we already have a caretaker policy, and I must admit I didn't look to see what the period is, but it's generally from the Vic Grade. And the third one is the thresholds for electric poles. This is increasing the threshold for electric poles.
To a thousand.
Where is the
5% for a thousand or a thousand? So for us it'd be
census was no, I think, in general terms.
Anyway, it's the number of signatories that you need on a nomination.
Too many.
The proposal is 30.
Five or ten.
That doesn't worry me either way.
But 30 is ridiculous.
In favour of
five. Spend all our time getting signatures.
Yeah.
Good democracy.
When I looked at that, I looked at it and I thought to myself, yeah, 10 maybe, but if you go on 30, in a rural area, there's a lot of people you get to know, but as they get older, they turn their toes up, so you can't go back to them to get them to
go to a football match.
So then you look at it the other way. In a rural area, you've got a hell of a great big municipality to get round, and a lot of people will turn around and say, yeah, we'll vote for you, but we won't nominate you. I've had that happen before. Okay.
This is going to be back by the 20th of April, which is before the next council meeting.
Yeah, so that's why we have a position on
today.
I'm surprised they didn't have a suggestion that we should stand down if we're going to run for state parliament.
Haven't gone there in terms of eligibility.
Yeah, you have to stand down.
It's been discretionary in the past.
That's not
the issue. I don't know if anybody out of the other got points. I think I've picked up the key ones.
Yes.
The exception of other than the number of signatories.
Yes.
Happy if we focus a submission around that feedback.
So council has determined its position in response to the proposed reforms.
We have, and I move.
Without enumerating those, I don't think the CM has got them down, and it's now moved by Councillor Visby and seconded by the Deputy that that information be communicated to the person in the Department of Family and Capital. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. I read the member's statements. Deputy, you want to make a couple of statements?
No, I did. The Australia Day Awards at Broadmarsh on Monday, I'd just like to congratulate Donna and her committee and Gemma for all the work that you did on a wonderful celebration, and it was lovely. It was good to be there, and it was lovely to see so many people.
Yeah.
And Lucy must have been very proud to have all her family there.
Well, she had the majority of us there. We all left her alone that night, and she was sitting there at 5:30 waiting for someone to ring up. She was very tired. And no one rang because we thought she'd be tired.
Yeah.
But she's extremely grateful.
She's wonderful for her age.
She's very articulate. Oh, definitely. She's still handwriting books too. I might add, she's handwriting these books. I've got one that's about that thick. She handwrites it, photocopies it, and sticks it into a couple of different things.
Amazing.
She's an amazing lady.
I was saying to Councillor Busy, I thought she'd exemplify a lot of the
issues and things that we want to celebrate for Australia Day as an Australian citizen, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else, Councillor?
I just wanted to bring it up. I know that we did over at Broadmarsh, we celebrated Athol Bennett being awarded in the Australia Day Honours List the Medal of the Order of Australia for the services to the community of Southern Midlands. I just thought that Council should write or invite Athol to something and present him or write a letter and congratulate him on that award. I know he did a radio interview the other morning on Triple M and told everyone about what he has done in his time and how proud he is to be part of this community. So I don't know what everyone else thinks, so I think we should recognise it some way.
Yeah,
I second that.
Tunbridge, just to thank them and maybe for time or something that might be appropriate. It would be marking as a
Yes, we'll certainly letter and then we'll have some other.
Some little something to mark it.
Where do we go after Tunbridge?
Colebrook and then Levendale.
Colebrook, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, we'll organise something.
Is Runnymede on that list?
No. So anyhow, I just thought we should...
Alright, we'll definitely do that. Congratulations, Bethel. Obviously, the important thing we do mark that. Thanks, Debbie.
Oh, but then we've got a bus going to the Lavender Farm at Port Arthur tomorrow. The bus is full. And I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we want more money in the budget.
This is part of the
I think we need to double the budget, I think.
Double the budget at least.
How many
is
in the bus?
I went to the Woodsdale Football Club Family Day and I spoke to a number of club members out there, and the good news is they're getting on with getting things done, and I'm also led to believe that the paperwork has been done on both parties. It's just a matter of handing over. And so I've been informed it should be this week.
This week? That's great. No, well, my latest information was they were still trying to comply with their identification requirements.
Well, I spoke to Tony last night and she said it was all done, all okay, and it was up to the solicitors to get together and sign it all off.
Beautiful.
But moving on from there.
This is a matter of interest. How many did you think you attended the day?
I'm coming to that. With the those that I was talking to, they've managed to find a new assistant coach, and there's some potential new players that are lined up wanting to be part of the club. And their building plans, they were on display on the wall up there at the club. The at the Green. And as for the family doctors, the numbers were down a bit, but there was a cold wind blowing and a grey cloud, which didn't really turn a lot of people on. But part of the problem is it didn't get advertised as well as it could have done and should have done prior to it being held, because some people said to me they only found out a week, 2 weeks before the event. But as for the actual day that the people that did come, they enjoyed it, the kids enjoyed it. the youth show was a bit bigger than last year. And of course, Subaru Ute there ended up with the best vehicle of the show. And Alex Dean, he had Holden there. He got first prize. I had the Falcon there, I got second prize. I got chatted by Alec that Holden was better than Ford, and I said to him, well, that's a contradiction, you've got your Ford truck here and you've got a Ford tractor.
Hotly contested.
Mm. Who's the judge? Warden.
But the numbers were down a bit.
Who was judging
it? A couple of the Woodstar Football Club members. But it'd be nice to see more vehicles there and more kids activity and what have you. But to do that, you've got to have more money. If you've got more money, you can do more things.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it was a good day for what it was.
So what were the actual numbers?
I would have said, over the whole day, because I was dribbling in and out through the day, probably would have got to about 600.
That's a big event.
Where did it all come from?
Right down to the Tasman Peninsula. And there were quite a few from down the Tasman Peninsula that were there.
Was there an entry fee?
Come again?
Was there an entry fee?
$5.
$5, so they paid 600 by $5. Well, that's good news for the football club. Good news.
Lessens our contribution.
Well, I don't know. That's a good fundraiser. All right. Any other general or elected member statements?
One other comment I want to go on before I butt out. Be careful of AI when you're answering the phone, when you're putting information into it, and I did that for a provider for the computer. 7 times I put the number in, my phone number, it couldn't get it right. 7 times I put the mobile number in, it couldn't get that right. And I noticed with Centrelink, using AI, the information they were given, they didn't get it right. So be careful what you say to AI.
Don't use it.
But you can't get out of it.
All right.
I'd just like to say, yes. On Monday, I was talking to the Tunnock Fire Brigade, and she didn't realise who I was to start off with, and council members are not responding to their Christmas. The only one that has responded to their Christmas invite was Lorena. So I said that I would let everybody know who will respond and to send it out.
Well, that's not fair, is it?
It's on the first Sunday, I think it was. First Sunday of December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't
remember getting
it. No. So I'll watch out for it. I'll let everybody know that we've got
invitations go out to councillors.
They just send
unless it's just a flyer that goes out. I don't recall getting one individually.
I never got one.
No.
Did you ever get a generic one?
No, you would send it to us.
Oh, there you go.
So they
sent
it to me,
obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't recall getting one, but. Something
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I just thought then Tim has me and Tim had set a date for a meeting, a town meeting at Tunbridge for the 5th of February to discuss the hall and what's going to go on up there. 6:30 at the hall.
5:30.
5:30.
It's on a bit earlier, because...
I have it. I've got to change it.
At the mayor's request. Which is very
good. That means... Right, okay. So that's at Tunbridge to try to get a resolution to the hall and what's going on up there. Okay?
Yeah, if anyone's got any ideas about that.
So how is the hall committee, have they got a committee now? Because I think the regional committee basically resigned.
At the moment, I'm the last person standing.
You are?
Yeah.
Right.
If the president and her partner, who was treasurer, if they have resigned, which I believe they have, I'm not really sure, I am the last person standing, because the secretary and her partner resigned, and we went to have a AGM, it would be 2 years ago now,
and
we didn't have a quorum, we didn't have the minutes and things like that. So.
So is there enough interest to
that's the
establish
yeah,
a new committee?
Yeah, that's the purpose of the meeting, and we're hoping that some of the younger ones may put their hands up, which they probably won't, but we're hoping also, and I think there is a bit of interest from the club in maybe sort of coming on board.
Well, I was wondering about that, whether the joint managerial arrangement.
Yeah. There have been discussions with the president of the club and things like that, so hopefully something.
It's not
made.
Gavin anymore, it's who was it?
Richard.
Richard Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think the publication of the meeting, I think we're doing a bit about that, is it?
Everybody
knows that.
Well, there's been a
letter. This is done direct mail out to every property in Anthill Ponds, Woodbury, Tunbridge.
So we don't know.
A direct mail out, that's yeah.
That's good. All right.
May I spot it? No.
Let's hope we get some developments there on the 15th of
February. It's very hard to get.
February. It is.
And I was talking to Joey, and she has received the poster that's going on the notice board and etc. So I have talked to her.
Okay. Finance officer. Oh, that's okay. We're going information received in relation to the quarterly update.
I'll move.
Thank you very much, Councillor. How are we going? Going all right? Move. Is that? 8th, 7th of January. Move. Is Kirsty? Second. Councillor Campbell.
that report.
5th of February, you're
talking
about. Eh? Talking about
no, I'm not saying it. I'm the back of the room, speaker, but not the. Okay, I've got a move and a second of that information we received. Any further comments? No?
Very good. Got the information, hasn't it, Father?
No. Thank you. I'd have it again. Thank you. Sorry, 2. Which stuff will talk about? Yeah, thank you.
Jim has an email or.
Yeah, since the agenda went out, obviously they've checked the agenda and they've actually sent an email in requesting $534 donation, not the $100 we've offered.
And what was
pay
the
for their clown, I think.
Oh, it's to pay for the clown.
Yep.
Can I just make a general comment? Is that, so this is the second time. This policy, when it was initially prepared, was aimed at community events and not necessarily club specific events. Whilst this you could argue is a family day, is it a fundraising event for the football club or is it a family day? And it just opens up a can of worms in terms of any other football club, cricket club that may hold, an evening or a family barbecue day or whatever. So,
Christmas party.
We probably need to take this decision out of play. Going forward, I think we need to review our policy.
Yes.
And just ensure that it's focused on what it was intended and how we do that, it's going to be difficult.
But isn't it a policy, it's a policy related decision, isn't it?
Yes, well,
that
yes.
We're facing now.
But what I'm saying is a couple of decisions in recent times have been for particular club activities rather than non-for-profit organisations.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking, how do we control this going forward? We either substantially increase the budget or do we try and limit what it was originally intended? And if we're saying that it is there to support individual clubs and their activities, we then need to put some rules around that.
See, we start have a crack at it, don't they? For instance, don't want to focus on this area of Woodstar, but it's great if they get involved in family activities. But what do we do there? I mean,
this is the difficult around it. So, in this case, it was a family day run by the Woodstar Footy Club. Is it a fundraising activity or is it a community event? Very similar arguments could be saying. Mount Pleasant Footy Club have a whatever night.
Mm-hmm.
They pay the cost of music and it's all entertaining people associated with the club. That's a community event. Should we be donating to that?
Mm-hmm.
The Central Hawks Junior Footy Club have a family day to sign up for kids. Should we be donating to that event?
They charge a $5 entrance, but this is kind of family saying the 600 people come, that's a $3,000 gate, which is a pretty, it's a fundraising gate, isn't it? Whereas if you put on a barbecue for the Central Hawks Junior Footy Club and you don't charge anybody,
yeah,
and the families come to see their kids get their awards or whatever, then that is a family.
So I totally agree with what we need to do is to make sure our policy reflects what
separation.
Reflects what it was originally intended for, yeah, or is amended to then put some rules around how much we'll donate to you these days, rather than just picking a figure for each.
Mind you, if you're the senior executive officer of the Launceston Council, $150,000 in the first 5 years, we don't know jumping at all, no, then thank you, Council.
Just a well, that's a sort of discretion, General Manager. So where I'm going is this decision, put this decision aside, we need to do a review our community events donation policy to make sure that it's either funding what we should.
Well, so because the policy saying now, if you follow the strict policy now, should we be giving them anything, or should we not? How does it match up with our policy? Because I guess we've got to stick to our policy.
Community or service groups based within the Southern Midlands will be considered, with the maximum donation being $1,500. So, Kempke Festival. Green Pond Progress, not-for-profit organisation. But, at the same time, all our cricket clubs, footy clubs, are not for profits.
Yep.
What's the difference? Somehow we've got to differentiate between community events and fundraising.
Well, even your halls, you've got a lot of halls.
So every time you put on a Sunday afternoon, you could write in and ask for $500 to fund the band. I'm just flagging.
Somehow we've got to review the policy
and put some parameters around it. Or substantially increase the budget at the expense of the seniors program.
So the seniors program is very, very, very good.
Well, we've got to make some hard choices here. The recommendation is that council donate $100 to the Woodstock Winning Club to assist with the conduct of the club's 2026 band day.
Then the email come through and said, can they up it to 534?
And that's to pay for a clown.
Jim, how many toilets were supplied by council?
Our one toilet, delivered and picked up.
No, saying that they should have had two.
Did they request two?
I'm not sure what they did or they didn't. And that's why they wanted the extra.
How about we split the difference? 250 with the intent of reviewing the policy to try and clarify what we do going forward.
I would move that.
So move Councillor Campbell, 250. Seconded. Come on. 50.
It's all about compromise.
We need to
talk.
The zero I'm coming from.
I appreciate Councillor Campbell's position too. Obviously, had a fair bit to do with them. Yeah. And look, yeah, I think 250 is fair enough. But anyway, the proclamation is, you're happy with that? Sorry.
Providing that none of that fund and second prize in the new competition.
I didn't think about that.
Jim? Now, the next time the Bowls Club have their big day in March.
We've got to review the policy. I appreciate that, but I think on where we are now, I don't think Council Campbell's out of order.
So
I'll put the motion.
But before you go there, Mayor, what I do believe is maybe we should look at two policies so that you're separating the sports clubs away from other, and then build on that with a proviso that they must advertise the event so people know that it's on. Because there are a lot of events that come along, people don't know about it, but 2 or 3 days beforehand.
That's up to each club. That's right. So it's up to the clubs. If they don't have someone that's good on Facebook advertising, that's their problem. But that used to open in the can of worms with all the sporting clubs, because you've got darts clubs in the district, we've got bowls clubs, we've got golf clubs, we've got
line dancing,
we've got the horse club,
Pilates club,
Pilates
martial. All right, I'll put the motion.
And all of that happening, how come on one fifth?
So that's it. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the eyes have it. Thank you. Look, we've got to proceed now into the closed session regulations. And these items are going to be dealt with in closed session. Council minutes confirmation, that's for closed session. Leave of absence, Kempton Community Health Centre, and Flower Mill Car Crew Development Project. Mover, Councillor Campbell, seconded, Councillor Fisicky. Those in favour? Thank you. Are we now move into closed session? Do I have a move that we do that? Thanks, Deputy. Seconded.
Fish.
Yep. Yep. Councillor Fish. Those in favour? Aye. Very good. We're now in closed session. We have a recommendation that the council move out of the closed session. Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
Aye, second.
Second, Councillor Fish. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the eyes have it. Well, we now move to closure. Thank councillors for their participation and council officers for their and participation, and we close the meeting now at 4:01.
Well done.